Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 163 all the stanzas. O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more, to see thy glorious grace. And what follows in all stanzas of Psalter 163. Thank you.
scripturing for this afternoon can be found in the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Romans and thereof chapter 2. But first, we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans chapter 2. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the means while accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, and an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? That thou sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we may be under thy holy word. And then it is read unto us that circumcision that is not of the letter, but it is that of the heart. And so we each and every one have the letter. And we have the outward appearance, but we so stand in need of a true regeneration. And thou knowest it is that which we cannot give unto ourselves. Who can grant himself, O Lord, a new life when he is dead? Wilt thou look upon each and every one of us? For we sit and stand here before thee in thy house of prayer. But thou knowest what lies within. Outwardly blessed, with blessings above so many in this world. Blessings for the home. And blessings also within thy house, and that we may come together round about thy word of truth. But Lord, we beseech thee, and that thou may grant us that treasure, and that lives within the heart, that thou may grant us life from the dead. It is necessary for the first time, it is necessary also by renewal. Thy servant did say, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me according to thy word. Then he felt the deadness. Then he felt the dryness. Even as we have sung together also out of thy word of truth. I wander in a desert land where all the streams are dry. And thou knowest each and every one of us. When we do come up to thy house once again in this afternoon hour. And whether it is also so in our life. And whether this is a burden to our heart. As we travel over this world. And when everything is vanity without. But everything can also be such vanity within. And then the emptiness that is felt. And it is a burden unto this one or unto that one. Lord, we ask of thee that thou may fill it with thyself. To whom else can we go? For thou, Lord, hast the words of eternal life. And there is so much that we can receive in this world. but all must soon be left behind. And when we have not that portion that thou givest unto all thy people, then we shall not live in comfort and die in peace, but then we shall live in turmoil and in guilt, and we shall die in fear, for we shall appear before thee to give an account of all that we have done, whether it be good or whether it be evil, and we cannot appear before thee. O Lord, thou knowest our life, and thou knowest our heart, and we cannot make it different in our life, for there is nothing from our side except for emptiness and for sin. We have chosen it already in our father Adam, and so are we born into this world. Lord, it is only thee, it is only by thy power that we can receive substance, as we have heard it in this morning hour. O Lord, we beseech it of thee then in this afternoon hour, that thou may look upon us with our children, and that thou may come from above, that thou may send forth thy Holy Spirit even in these very moments, that he may come to dwell among us even in this afternoon hour, that we may receive a blessing. Oh, could it be the smallest part of that blessing wherewith thou blessest all thy children, for then we receive the greatest riches that a man can receive in this world. O Lord, do it for thy name's sake. Wilt thou glorify thyself in the midst of thy church? And wilt thou show also that thou art among us in the days in which we live with our dear children? Oh, that that new life may be evidently, feelingly, and believingly experienced in the midst of us. Oh, that our children, that our young people, and may be witnesses of what that is. And when the Lord says to a man, so far and no further, and when he must be turned from a wicked way in this world, turned unto the true and the living God, turned from a self-righteous religion unto the truth within. O Lord, do it for thy name's sake. Grant it unto young and old together, while we are still in the land of the living, and because our life that flies away, thou thyself dost say it, and that it is as the grass. Today it is flourishing, tomorrow it is that is withering away. O Lord, then it is but a vapor, that for a moment that is appearing, and then it is vanishing away. And so we with our children, or we go each one to our long home, and it is with so much carelessness, that we do go over this world, and then there is no one that is able to give that concern in his own heart or in the heart of his children or family or loved ones. Lord, therefore we lay it before thee, and we lay it before thee in this afternoon hour, and when we are to gather round about thy word of truth, and when we are standing on a false foundation, and when we are so going through this world, so that we do not realize the danger that we are in, though we have heard it all our life long, Lord, we beseech thee in this afternoon hour that thou may come unto us. We are undeserving of the least of all thy notice and of all thy attention. We are deserving because of our life, that thou wouldst cast us away from thee, and that thou would never hear our supplication, But Lord, wilt thou remember what thou hast done in thine only begotten Son? For he has satisfied that law, and he has paid the price. It is all finished, Lord. Wilt thou apply it also unto us and unto our children? Look upon us, each and every one, in all the needs and circumstances of our life. Thou dost give many callings. They come to us day after day. Wilt thou bless and sanctify the ways? Oh, that our hearts, they may turn again unto a Him that smites us, that it may not be, and that in that great day of days, then thou wilt say unto us, that I have smitten thee, and I have withheld from thee, and I have blessed thee, and I have caused thee to receive all the gifts of this world. And there was nothing, and there was no turning, there was no recognizing of my hand. Lord, that thou may so bless every way thy word and all the providential callings that are coming unto us. Remember the afflicted, the sick, all the old age, and all those that have special needs and cares, and in a special way. And we lay before thee once again him who hopes to receive surgery in this week. Lord, thou knowest all that he has suffered in the years that have gone by, how much pain, and how there was no solution to this point. And now thou givest that this may be scheduled. We ask of thee, Lord, that thou may go with him. Thou knowest his fears. When it is yet before him in this week, wilt thou be on his right and on his left hand? Give him to feel thy nearness and thy presence, and that he may know that thy everlasting arms are underneath. And wilt thou give to the physicians wisdom and skill in this case, that it may be for the strengthening and the healing of his body, and that he may be able to provide for his wife and for his children, and may this way also be sanctified to each and every one of them. And wilt thou look upon all of us together, instruct us in all thy truth, be all with all that have not thy word, bring it to the ends of the world, and all that bring thy word, that are sent and called by thee. And wilt thou give more servants in thy vineyard? And wilt thou give that thy word may also be for the discerning between right and wrong? When we do deceive ourselves as we walk over this world, thinking that we are in the right way, O Lord, then wilt thou undeceive us, and wilt thou begin with us and make it right and true. Look upon us in this afternoon, and wilt thou strengthen us to bring thy word. Lord, thou knowest all our weakness, and wilt thou be on our right and on our left hand, if it could please thee, to give us sufficient strength to do all our labors again. We are in thy hand, but Lord, wilt thou remember us in thy mercy, and wilt thou strengthen us and give that health that is necessary to do the work in the midst of the congregation, and wilt thou bless the labors also for the young people in confession class, and wilt thou give them also a blessing out of thy heavenly store. Be with us in this hour. Help us and give thy word free course, that it may enter our hearts and go further than our minds and our ears, and that thou thyself may receive all the honor and all the glory, and our soul the benefit. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 428, stanzas 1 and 2. How blessed are the perfect in the way, who walking in Jehovah's law with pleasure, preserve their piety from day to day. And what follows in stanzas 1 and 2 of Psalter 428. Thank you. beloved congregation, what will the great judgment day reveal? Because we read that we will be placed on the right hand or on the left hand. When we are separated in that day, as a shepherd is separating the sheep from the goats. And the Lord Jesus says, and that there shall be many who will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And I will say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, all ye that work iniquity. How does a man prophesy in the name of Christ? How does a man cast out a devil in the name of Christ? That can only be by faith. Thus, the Lord Jesus says that there will be many, many that have faith and have done many wonderful works with that faith, to whom that he will say, I never knew you. How can that be? That is what we wish to consider together beginning in this afternoon hour. Once again out of Lord's Day 7, and then only once again question 20. Question 20 of Lord's Day 7, are all men then as they perished in Adam saved by Christ? Answer, no. Only those who are engrafted into him and receive all his benefits by a true faith. So far, our Lord's Day, which we want to consider once again, but this time with this theme, true faith distinguished, with three thoughts. First, distinguished from historical faith. Second, distinguished from miraculous faith. And third, distinguished from temporary faith. And this afternoon, we wish to consider the first of these three, that is, true faith distinguished from historical faith. Solomon says that many strong men are slain by the harlot. That was so in the case of Solomon, and it is so in the case of many other strong men. That harlot is very, very busy also in our days, destroying many strong men. Will you also, young people, be destroyed by that harlot? Solomon says that her house is the way to hell. It doesn't say that it is on the way to hell, but it says that her house is the way to hell. and the Lord Jesus, he says, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, because it is better for thee that one of thy members perish than that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Do you think that that is a vain threat from the side of the Lord? God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the Son of Man that he should repent. Thus hell that exists. And we heard last time that not all men are saved in Christ, as they have perished in Adam. And indeed that cannot be, because then there would be no hell. Thus something has to happen in our life. Something has to happen between the cradle and the grave. Then we might not make an assumption concerning the state of our soul because we are a religious person and we come to church. But the Lord Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Faith, that is now the instrument by which a man is receiving a spiritual blessing. We heard that last time, and we heard something of that also in this morning hour. And therefore, faith is necessary, but we hope, if the Lord will give it, that in the future we may speak a little bit more about the necessity of faith. But our fathers, they do not say here, no, only those who are engrafted into him and receive all his benefits by faith. Doesn't say that. What does it say? It says, and receive all his benefits by a true faith. That's why do our fathers put in that word, by a true faith. And they make a distinction. And they say there is also something else. Then there is something which is also called faith. But it is not that faith by which a man is receiving those benefits out of Christ. Thus, they make a distinction between saving faith and other faiths, or other that is called faith. So we hear that often in our days, that we must have faith. And do we agree with that? Oh, absolutely we do. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. The congregation, then, we would like to qualify this even as our fathers qualified it. That we would say, then, it is necessary for us to have a true faith. Why? Because the way that leads to destruction is a very broad way. And on that way are the wicked in an outward way. But on that way are also religious persons. As Solomon writes, I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. Thus are we on the broad way? Or are we on the narrow way? Bunyan, the very last of his precious book, he says, "Then I saw that there was a way to hell, even from the gates of heaven, as well as from the city of destruction." That is, according to the word of God as we heard it, those that say, that will say, the many that will say, "Lord, Lord," that will be at the gates of heaven. And Bunyan says this at the very end, "Then I saw." How will it be for us when we see this at the very end of our life? And that we say we have never seen that before in our life. "Then I saw that there was a way to hell, even from the gates of heaven, as well as from that city of destruction." Therefore, Paul, he says, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith." That is, whether ye be in that true faith that receives the blessings out of Christ. Then it is an examination, because that is not easy. It is not as easy as, "I am a member of the church." No, it takes a self-examination. Do we have a desire to do this? It is not as easy as, "I make a confession," or "I teach a Bible class," or "I am an elder," or "I am a minister," or "I come to the table of the Lord." No, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. God's word that uses that term faith in different ways. And thus our fathers, they have distinguished four different ways that that word faith is used. And one way, of course, that is that true saving faith, whereby a man is indeed receiving the benefits out of Christ. And the Lord willing, we hope to come to that in the future. But we have said last time that we wish to go a little slowly, because faith that is so important, and faith is also something that is very difficult to understand, and it is difficult also to do, as Paul says, to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. How many of God's children do not have a question that they say, "Am I his or am I not?" That they say, "Show me now how I may closely and precisely examine myself whether I am in that faith or not." And thus there is one way, but then there are also other ways. There are several other ways that that word faith is used in the Bible, which are not speaking about that faith whereby a man is received into the kingdom of God. Do we care to examine ourselves? What is historical faith? Reverend Hallenbrook says it is a bare assent to the truth. That means that it is speaking about the Word of God, an agreement with that Word of God, and the doctrines which the Lord is giving in His Word. Paul says that Timothy was brought up in the faith. Thus, that is not speaking about that faith that is uniting unto Christ, but he was brought up in the truth. And that word there that is used, that is faith. He was brought up in the faith. He was brought up under the truth. He was brought up under the doctrine of that truth. Paul also charges the deacons that they will hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. That is, that he does not say to them that you must hold on to your faith as that saving faith, but he says you must hold on to that truth. You must hold on to that doctrine as it is according to godliness. And he speaks about the profane and the vain babblings and the oppositions of science, he says, falsely so called, that they are making some to err from the faith. And he is denouncing those who leave the faith. Thus, he cannot be speaking about true saving faith, because we know that that true saving faith is protected by the Lord. It is preserved by the Lord so that there is a preservation in it. But that is not so concerning the truth, that there are those who may at one time hold to the truth, and that at another time they are leaving the truth, leaving the faith. Paul says of the Christians that they are always liars, and he says that Titus must rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. And what did Paul ask King Agrippa? He said, "Believest thou the prophets?" He says, "I know that thou believest." Thus, to believe, that is faith. And then Paul did not say to him that he knew that he had saving faith, but that he believed in a historical way. There are many that do not have historical faith. You will meet them, young people, in this world, in your places of work. You will meet them in universities. It is a blessing that our children may be shielded from this in the days of their youth. But that is not easy for you, young people. And then with all the arguments of this world, that men do argue against the truth, that they do not believe in the Bible. But the Bible that has testimony within itself of the truth of it, and the things which are in it, they are being and have been fulfilled. So that even in a natural way, that is evident to be truth. And yet many with no historical faith. And yet there are also many who have historical faith and who have not true saving faith. Reverend Kirsten, he says that historical faith that is like a fake flower. Do you ever see a fake flower, boys and girls? And can you tell that from a real flower? A fake flower that may look very beautiful, just like our profession may look very beautiful, and that is a good thing. But what is that fake flower missing, you say, that is missing life? It is missing life. Thus, that fake flower that a man can sit unmoved under the Word of God. Unmoved under the preaching of the law. Unmoved under the preaching of the gospel. Is that our life? When we have come many years, maybe, under the Word of God, is there then no life? You say, I believe that Word, but it has never moved me. That I have never gone from the house of the Lord with a broken heart, maybe even just a few impressions, but we hope to see that even further. But here we even speak about nothing, completely unmoved. Historical faith that is necessary for saving faith, because we cannot have saving faith if we do not believe the Word of God. But historical faith is not, it is not the beginning of saving faith. It is not part of saving faith. The Roman Catholic Church that says that historical faith that is the substance of saving faith. Only it is lacking the form. So it must be put into a certain form, and that form is love. And there are others, they say that historical faith that is the same in substance as that saving faith, only that it is a different grasp. It is an inferior grasp. It is a weaker grasp. As if the difference between historical faith and saving faith is a matter of degree and not a matter of kind. And as if we may say, when we believe the Bible, that we have already now the beginning, but we need to be, well, it just needs to be developed. And I believe, but I just do not believe strong enough. No. Historical faith and saving faith are two entirely different things. They proceed in the first place from a different cause. And in the second place, they take hold of different objects. What is the cause of saving faith? That is the irresistible and that internal calling of the Holy Spirit that is working regeneration. That is the cause. But the cause of historical faith, that is the common grace of God that is given to men, not all men, but it is given to men in a general way. Thus, the cause is not the same. And not only so, but these two are not taking hold of the same objects. And we hope to consider, if the Lord will give it later, more about the objects of faith. But saving faith has a special object. Because if we believe, then we have to believe something. That is the object of faith, boys and girls. Someone says, what do you believe? That is the object of faith. What does saving faith believe? What is the object of it? Well, the object, the special object, because there are more objects to saving faith, but that special object of true saving faith that is receiving and that is resting upon Christ as a wretched and as an undone sinner, according to the propositions of the gospel. But this is not so of historical faith. Does historical faith believe in Christ? Well, we may ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes, historical faith that has a belief in Christ. However, historical faith never receives Christ as his own Savior. Why not? Indeed, congregation, it cannot. It cannot. Why? Because what does historical faith never take hold of? Well, historical faith never believes, never takes hold of its own wretchedness. Yes, historical faith says that I am a sinner. Ask your heart. But historical faith does not believe that I am a wretched and an undone sinner. Historical faith does not believe in my utter condemnworthiness. Do you believe it? You may ask yourself, because I think that we have all, hopefully, say, a historical faith. But do we believe that we are utterly condemnworthy? Historical faith that does not desire present holiness. Yes, it may desire release from the punishment. It may desire reward. It may desire heaven. It may desire to be holy someday. but it does not desire present holiness. Sin is sweeter to bear to mere historical faith than holiness. Sin sweeter than holiness. And vanity and carnality that is rather chosen by historical faith than spiritual mindedness, heavenly mindedness. Thus, the difference between historical faith and true saving faith, that is not just a matter of degree. No, those are two very, very different things. There is a world of difference. It is a difference really between life and death, even though outwardly historical faith may live a good life. Thus, what does that historical faith actually lack? It lacks a spiritual taste, a savor for spiritual things. That savor that is wrought in the heart of a man in that day of regeneration. It lacks an inward delight in holiness. It lacks an inward aversion to sin, not an outward aversion, because that is before everyone else. But it lacks that inward aversion to sin, that true hatred of sin, because it is a sin before a holy and a righteous God, that is in true saving faith, that is lacking in historical faith. We do not say that true saving faith is rid of the flesh, because that flesh that remains till the last breath, Paul, he complained of it. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But there is in that true saving faith another life. There is in that true saving faith another love. There is another taste. There is another desire that is warring against the flesh, and that is desiring to be rid of sin, for the hatred of sin, for its evil that is living within my heart. Not later, but today. Thus, in true saving faith, there is a double life. A double life. Because there is the life of the flesh, Paul says, and there is the life of the Spirit. And that those two are opposed to one another, so there is a warfare. And it is because of that hatred for sin, that despising of sin, that is in that new life, that is missing in that historical faith. There is only there one life. That is the life of the flesh. You say, in me there is also another warfare. Yes, maybe our conscience is speaking. But it is conscience. It is not desire. It is not love. It is therefore not a warfare within my soul. That is more children like just your mother or your father saying, no, no, you may not do this, but in your heart, then you fully want to do it. Thus, the blessed Savior, he has no form and no comeliness to historical faith. Why not? Because Christ, he is not just a Savior from the punishment. He is indeed a Savior from the punishment. But he is not just, he is not merely a Savior from the punishment. But he is a Savior from sin. From every aspect of sin. That is not only from the punishment of sin. And from the guilt of sin, because we all do not like guilt in our conscience. But he is a Savior congregation also from the service of sin. From the service of sin. But if a man has no desire to be delivered from the service of sin, then for what does he need that mediator between God and man? Is that not the deliverance, the very deliverance that the Lord is promising unto his people? That they may be delivered from the service of sin. Is that not by times their longing to put down this body of sin and death? That there may be no flesh anymore. Let us sing. 41, 3, 5, and 7. The fear of man is undefiled. And ever shall endure. The statutes of the Lord are truth, and righteousness most pure. 3, 5, and 7 of Psalter 41. congregation, what profit is there of circumcision? Or we may say, what profit is there of baptism? Or of confession of faith? Or to be a member of the church? And what does Paul say? He says, much every way. Chiefly because unto them are committed the oracles of God. The oracles of God, they are the Word of God. They are committed unto us. And by that Word of God, we may have historical faith. That we may believe that all the doctrines that are in that Word, they are the truth. Who can fathom what a privilege that is, because there are so many people in the world, young people, that do not have the Bible still, that are ignorant of the Holy Scriptures, and they have also a soul, same as we. They are traveling also to eternity. Do we ever think about the privilege that we have the Holy Word of God? We can do nothing better than to fill our minds with the Word of God. We and our children at home, at school, and at church. But not only the Word, but also with the truth. Because there are many false prophets that are gone out into the world, we can read, and that is whose responsibility that we may know the truth. Say that is the ministers. Yes, we have a great responsibility to bring the truth. And we hope you ask also for us, but it is also your responsibility. Because Rome says that our faith, that should be implicit. That means you must believe me because I am a minister. Or you must believe the church because of their authority. But that is not reformed. No, faith that must be for each and every one concerning that holy Word of God, not because that it is said by the church, but because it is said by the Lord Himself. Historical faith. Congregation, are we not, though? Are we not, though, altogether too comfortable with our historical faith? Maybe we are even proud of it, that we have the truth, and it is a great privilege. Never despise it, young people. Neither do you need to be ashamed of it. But we must also not be proud of it. It ought to humble us. But also our heads, they can be filled with knowledge. And at the same time, our heart that is as hard as the nether millstone. Unmoved under the preaching. Unmoved under the reading of the law and gospel. Everything mere form and custom. From the cradle to the grave. Historical faith that is intellectual, that is in our mind. True saving faith is that which lives within the heart, that is touching our affections. And it is by those right affections that a man, he is also coming to an enlightened understanding. And the motive and the will that is following the understanding. Thus we have first need of those affections. We have first need of that inclination. Simon Magus, we read, believe. Do you believe too? And yet we read that Peter later, he says, thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And he says, your heart is not right. Maybe your words, maybe your profession, maybe your deeds, but your heart is not right before God. With all our historical faith, the love of sin that has a high place in our heart, and if we are honest, the love for the Lord that is lacking. There is more love for sin than there is for holiness. And secretly, we will not say that with our mouth, but let our heart condemn us today. Oh, do not push it away. But let our heart condemn us secretly within our heart. Then we deny our condemned worthiness before the Lord. Maybe we promise to ourselves that someday we are going to wage war against sin. But it is not yet. And today we roll it as a sweet morsel under our tongue. And that desire after the Lord, that panting after the Lord that we read of David, as the heart panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Our heart doesn't know anything about it. But there is indeed a panting after vanity, a panting after sin, a panting after everything that is carnal, earthly, worldly, sensual, devilish. And with this evil heart and our historical faith, we are comfortable with our religion. While the devils believe and tremble. And tremble. Paul says we perish. Not because we do not know the truth. But because we do not receive a love for the truth. The law. We are going to give an account for this soon. This hard heart. Soon we will stand before the Lord. And then the eye of the Lord that is going to pierce through every good deed and every word. It is going to pierce through into our heart. And the Lord will say, you love the world more than you love me. And the Lord will say, your heart that was never broken, historical knowledge that will increase our accountability. Why? Because the Lord declares a remedy and we do not believe the malady. Historical faith does not receive that truth of our malady. We have never become a sinner before God. And now the Lord says, you have known something. You have known as a servant the will of his master. And you have not done it. And you will be beaten with many stripes over against those that have not known, and they will be beaten with few stripes. That is now the increase of our judgment because of our historical faith. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. If the mighty works that have been done in thee have been done in Tyre and Sidon, and they had repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for you. That is the effect of that historical faith when we are missing that true saving faith. Oh, there is only one remedy for that evil heart, that evil bent, that evil inclination of our heart. With all our historical faith, there is only one remedy. That is what, children? A new heart. That is right. A new heart. Our historical faith is good. Our form of religion, that is also good. It is not enough. It is not that which we stand in need of for eternity. Our very heart needs to be renewed. And it is by a regenerating grace that we need to be made alive from the dead. And that our hard heart needs to be broken to pieces. Because that new heart receives new desires. It receives a new inclination. It receives a new bent. It receives a new love, new affections. And those affections are going before the understanding. They are helping to enlighten that understanding. And they are going before the will. Different thoughts of God are what we need. Different thoughts. Different thoughts than what we have by a mere historical faith, and different thoughts of something else. What is it now, children? We have been speaking for an hour. What is it now? Different thoughts of what else? Different thoughts of sin. Different thoughts of sin. That is what we need. A new taste. A spiritual taste. Only these are sufficient in that warfare against the flesh, because of religion, a mere outward religion, that is not sufficient in the warfare against our flesh. It will bring us nowhere. Only by these is a man kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Maybe there are those that cannot say that they know who Christ is, that they have faith in Him, that fear, that tremble. And yet are there those that hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do you hear what the Lord Jesus says about faith? Then He speaks not there about the highest things. He speaks about what is first necessary, a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. That is the most basic inclination of the soul. To hunger and to thirst. That is missing in historical faith. O congregation, that we would not rest short of it, because our life that is so short, that we would not rest with our historical faith. You say, I cannot change my heart. How can I make myself love someone that I do not love? What does the Bible say? Knowest thou not that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance? The goodness of the Lord. Do we think about the goodness of the Lord? I know. We cannot change your heart. You cannot, I cannot. But there is one who can. And who does. And what does he say? That he will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Drowsiness that shall clothe a man with rags. That is not only for this world, but that is now for the world to come. Jacob would not let the Lord go, except he bless him. Is that your life? Is that your life? Do you know what the Lord says? He says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, and waiting at the post of my doors. Blessed, that is the man that is blessed. Watching and waiting at my gates, at my doors. In congregation, the Lord is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Lay it then before him. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest the heart of each one. Give us to discern what lives in our own heart, because we cannot die with a mere historical faith, and thou givest it unto us in a common way, but we need that which is by that inward, irresistible calling of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, we beseech it of thee. Wilt thou uncover us this day? Wilt thou dismiss us with a blessing, a heart that cannot rest? All that may be filled may be with unrest in this day, until that it may come to know thee. Wilt thou look on us in the week to come? Keep us in the rest of this day, that we may keep thy Sabbath day holy. And wilt thou give us all that is necessary to do our work? The fathers in the fields, in their places of labor in this world, the mothers in their households, and all those that labor wherever that may be, the teachers in the school, and wilt thou grant thy blessing, keep from danger, from accident in this week, from a sudden and an unprepared death. Grant us those blessings that we cannot miss in this life, and wilt thou grant us also that blessing of a new heart for Jesus' sake. Amen. 73, 2, 5, and 6. O Lord, regard me when I cry. In mercy, hear me when I speak. And thou bidst me seek thy face. And I, O Lord, with willing heart reply, thy face, Lord, will I seek. 2, 5, and 6 of Psalter 73. Blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.